the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you.
It's time now for Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people incorporate their faith into their everyday lives. The program is underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
Welcome to another edition of Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host today is MJ Crowder. And MJ, I kind of teased you a little before the show here that I said I was going to introduce something that you did not know about.
How is that possible, Jim? How is that possible?
Well, there might be a thing more to. But we have a lot of different ways to donate to Catholic Radio. Of course, you know, there's monthly checks and credit cards and all of that, which we need, absolutely do need and greatly appreciate. But we also have Good Search, where every time you search on the internet, every time you search for anything, we get a penny.
Good Shop.
Every time you buy anything on the internet from most anywhere, you get we get a percentage or a fraction of our percent.
And it's like Good Eats or something, or what's
it? Well, good eating is gone.
Oh,
good
man.
Dining.
Good dining. I was going to say Charleston. I think I single-handedly.
It's one of my favorite places,
yeah.
And
I
did a lot of that too. There is another one, and it's on our website now. It's called Amazon Smile.
Oh, yeah, Amazon Smile. Everybody,
without exception, buys through Amazon sooner or later. Well, if you go to our website, you go to Amazon Smile, there's a little icon there, and click on that, it'll ask you what charity you want your contribution to go to. And it's a modest amount, 0.5% comes to Catholic Radio. And once you key in Catholic Radio Indy, your computer will remember that. And then anytime you're going to buy anything on Amazon, just go to Amazon Smile. And we got a real surprise the way Amazon Smile is set up. People can contribute to you even if you don't know that they're doing it.
Oh, really?
And so Amazon Smile contacted us and says, hey, we got this $83. You want it?
Oh,
we
my say, goodness.
We say, yeah, yes, we do.
Yes.
Where do we sign?
Now, wait a second. We start at the website. So we start at Catholic Radio Indy website.
Actually, you can just go to Amazon, Google or Yahoo.
So we can start at Amazon because I browse there.
Amazon Smile. Amazon Smile.
That's different than Amazon Prime?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Amazon Smile.
Amazon Smile.
Okay.
And it'll ask you what charity. Type in Catholic Radio Indy, and it'll help you if you get halfway through.
Okay.
It'll say, oh, you mean this one. And that's it. And that's all you do. Just buy any old thing.
Oh, I'm good at that. I have no problem with that. Our guest today on Faith in Action, Schwab Rasuli. Welcome.
Thank you, MJ. How are you today?
I'm well. I'm very well. I'm hopeful. I'm ever hopeful. Schwab kind of came on our radar. These are wonderful Faith in Actions. I say that often, but you know, this is a great show because we tell great stories here on Faith in Action. And my daughter, Anna, met you in the young adult community, and she said, Mom, you've got to have him on as a guest. And we love conversion stories. We love stories. So welcome, Schwab. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about you to begin with. So what side of town do you live on? What do you do between 9 and 5, and what parish do you belong to?
Sure. I live on the west side in the Eagle Creek neighborhood, and I work for a company called Aperio. It's a technology consulting firm, pretty much consulting for different cloud-based softwares, Salesforce, Workday, Concur, if you've heard of these.
You've lost me.
Yeah, sorry. A lot of technology over the head for a lot of people, even for me at some points, but I'm on the functional side. I help customers understand what we do, and if they have any questions, I can help answer those questions for them. And
oh, interesting.
Yeah, so it's a lot of every day is a new different challenge, and so
well,
it keeps,
that's fun.
Yeah,
that's
it keeps me on, my toes, so that's good.
And what parish?
St. John's the Evangelist downtown.
Oh, yeah.
So right on
Georgia
Street. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right in the. It's actually right across my office.
Really?
In the Pan Am Tower.
My goodness.
I always want to ask people that. Obviously, if you live on the west side, there's a lot of great west side parishes.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you drive by get to St. John's downtown.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a really good convenient access for daily mass those times I do get to go for 12:10.
Sure, slip across the street.
Yeah, confession, it's like right there in case I need to get there Monday through Friday. So.
Oh, and Father Rick Nagel is wonderful.
He is phenomenal.
He's such a, it's interesting. He's been our guest here at Catholic Radio several times, and he was our speaker at the Catholic Radio dinner last year. But it's when I have gone to the Right to Life dinner, I think is right across the street there at the
Convention Center.
Mm-hmm. But two or three times when we've gone there, as we are pulling into park at the garage right across from the Convention Center, we've seen Father Rick Nagel surrounded by a gaggle of 20 to 30 young people. It's like it has happened two or three years in a row. It's the coolest thing to see him. He's walking, bringing everybody walking over there. Yet great parish, wonderful parish. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're here to talk a little bit about your conversion story. I know it's an interesting one. It has grabbed the attention of a few people and made its way to Catholic radio. And it's interesting because you converted from Islam.
Yeah, yep, that's correct.
All right, so take us back to your childhood, growing up a little bit. Tell us a little bit about how faith played a part in your life as a child. Was it a strict home when it came to practicing your faith?
It was. So a lot of the Muslim households that you'll see in America are very traditional. They don't like to deviate away from the way first generation immigrants are brought up, and they really want their kids to be brought up the way they were, and they don't want any kind of variation or diet Islam, if you will. So they really tried to really drill the same ideologies that they grew up with in the Middle East or Indonesia or Africa, wherever it may have been. And so it can be quite challenging living in a very secular environment here in the United States. And whenever a child goes to school, they see that their friends are able to dress a certain way or eat certain things or communicate with the opposite gender, whereas, in a Muslim household, like, a lot of that stuff is immediately forbidden, unless you have very liberal Muslim families, in which case it's usually more lenient in those aspects.
Do you have sisters?
I do. I have two little sisters.
Two little sisters. And would they dress? How would they dress differently than my daughters would?
Probably not much different. Okay. My family was more nominal, but not very, not super. They dressed just modestly. They never exposed too much skin or anything like that. And my father and mother were very clear on their expectations and their standards about how they were to dress, especially when entering high school. So that was a huge conversation for them. And, and I, as a big brother, when I was a Muslim, I would play that second command force in the household.
Oh, sure.
And kind of enforce those rules as well, because, my mind was really closed off in those aspects. So,
okay, so, I was reading a little bit about your bio on LinkedIn. We have an intern for the summer. She's delightful, Maddie Lucia. And when you came on the radar, I said, okay, now let's gather some information. Of course, she went to all the pop sites, Facebook and LinkedIn, and she came up with a bunch of questions and found out a little bit about you. So I've got to give a nod to her. She helped put this together. But it's interesting because you stated on LinkedIn, and this, it was, we went all the way back to the Kelly School, IUPUI, that you're passionate about serving others.
Sure.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about that. I think you also mentioned that you, at least then when you were in college, you thought about spending some time in the Peace Corps, even. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how far your serving's spirit of service went.
Yeah, you guys did your research. Yeah. I see that.
So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So in the first couple of years of my undergrad, I was very passionate about wanting to get involved with different student organizations on campus, any type of extracurricular. But my fraternity, Phi Kappa Psi, was the one that really stood out to me. And that was the one first organization that I got involved with. And their motto was, the great joy of serving others. And through that fraternity, we engaged in several different social impact service events all throughout the city. And it just kind of opened the doors for, different organizations, nonprofits, homeless shelters, food banks, what have you. And slowly but surely, I started realizing that I have a you know, good knack for wanting to do this, and I really, it really like fills me up. It really gives me life to see my strengths, my skills being applied to places where they're most needed, and that was in the nonprofit world. And so that led to my me becoming a scholar for the Sam Jones program on IUPUI's campus, and they're pretty much a community service program. And I was a alternative spring break leader through that program, and my responsibilities were instead of taking your traditional college spring break to Panama City Beach, I organized a spring break trip for 11 college students to go to a homeless shelter in Atlanta, Georgia. And it was a Christian community. This particular homeless shelter, City of Refuge, was the name of it. And it was in the heart of the worst neighborhood in all of Georgia.
Oh, my goodness.
So it was quite scary at times, but it really truly showed me that these people are, you know, brothers and sisters of mine that truly need to be loved. And it was then I actually converted and then took this trip. So it was after my conversion that I went on this trip. And so,
and we do want to talk about
right,
that.
We do. I'm not going to spoil too much quite
okay.
yet.
Okay. Our guest today on Faith in Action is Shwai Brasuli. We're going to take a break. We've kind of laid the foundation, and we'll be right back.
Think of all the media our young people are exposed to today. MTV, movies, what passes for entertainment on TV, song lyrics that are questionable or worse. Where do they hear the message that it's okay to be chaste and modest, or that it's not crazy to practice their faith, or to believe in a God who loves them and can forgive them no matter what they do? Catholic Radio is the answer. Be sure to tell your friends and relatives about Catholic Radio Indy.
Here at Catholic Radio Indy, we guarantee you will be getting 100% Catholic programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Evangelization, catechesis, apologetics, and so much more, all in keeping with the teaching of the Catholic Church. On the air at 89.1 and 90.9 FM, online at CatholicRadioIndy.org, and on the go with a free app for your smartphone or mobile device, Catholic Radio Indy, 100% Catholic programming 24/7.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Shwai Brasuli, he is a convert. We talked a little bit about it, kind of laid the foundation, his background in the first half of the show today. And we're going to kind of get into what brought you, how Catholicism first came on your radar. The reason this is kind of an interesting story, listeners, and I'm not going to spoil it here. That'll come out in just a minute or two. But you're a convert. You're a Muslim convert from Islam. And I think that's kind of intriguing because most of us will think that's very different from what Catholics believe. So how did the Catholic Church first come on your radar?
So I was a rebel in high school, so I kind of like deviated away from my Islamic faith. And it wasn't until mid-college that I truly became serious about it. And in becoming serious about it, I kind of realized something that in order for me to be a very good Muslim, in order for me to follow the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, in order for me to carry out these traditions, that I have to look at the world in a certain way. And that world, that viewpoint was, in my opinion, a very dark one. And it wasn't so much about becoming a really good Muslim, but it was more about becoming Islamic. And so that was a very different perspective, and I did not like where that was going. And so one day a thought kind of like popped into my head. It was just it was the Holy Spirit talking. It was like, Schweib, you know, I appreciate that you're trying to find the truth and want to advocate for the truth, but you don't have the full truth, and I challenge you to go find that. And so it took me a while to like formulate those opinions or those thoughts, and truly realize that they were coming from God and not from an evil force, mm-hmm. So the devil in this case.
Now, you mentioned Islamic and Muslim. Most people, they're the same thing. Are they different? What?
It depends on who you ask, really. Some people will say, yes, there's a difference, which in this case myself. Others will say not so much. Islamic, in my opinion, means to really take the teachings of Islam and really exemplify them. So in this case, Muslims believe that the Prophet Muhammad was the most perfect human being to have ever lived. And so in order for us to be really good Muslims, we need to emulate every one of his actions, speak his words, and just truly carry out his image. And I did not like some of the things that I found out about, you know, the Prophet Muhammad, about early Islam. And, you know, the question came one day was, am I going to truly follow this, or am I going to really go find that ultimate truth? Because, you know, that popped into my mind. And so I made the decision. I had to leave Islam and pursue other endeavors. And so I became an agnostic. You know, it was a very lukewarm. I knew that God existed. I just didn't know how he how to glorify him, how he deserved to be worshipped. And one day, my fraternity brother, who is also a Catholic, approached me and said, "Shuaib, do you want to join my Bible study?" And so one conversation led to another. We had several conversations, and finally I just agreed, went to his Bible study, and I was like St. Paul in that Bible study.
Knocked off your horse.
Not really knocked off my horse. I was like Saul, but pre-conversion. Okay. So I was the one like challenging every single one of the Christians in
that
Bible
good.
Study.
That's good, right.
And I disagreed on every viewpoint sure. that they had brought up, and I was saying that Christ was not Lord, like this is impossible. And so he had pulled me aside and he said, "Hey, you can't, you know, challenge them in that way, because they're trying to find their faith, you know, and it doesn't make sense for you to just come and bash the Catholic faith, right. you know, from the get-go." Sure. And so he gave me a Bible, and so I began reading it, and that kind of like opened the doors to the questions that I was having. So
and at this point,
now you felt drawn toward the Catholic faith, and something that's a current phenomenon that is really puzzling to a lot of people. There are young people in this country who are drawn toward ISIS, and I know ISIS is not, you know, the same as the Muslim faith or anything, but there are young people that are felt really led in that direction. And I'm wondering, is that have anything to do with faith, or do you have any thoughts as to why they're feel attracted to that?
I think it's pretty much going back to the roots. Like I said, I wanted to go back to my roots and really carry out the way, carry Islam out the way Prophet Muhammad really wanted to. And I think more young people are realizing that as well. And they're somehow getting a very twisted image of Islam. And, you know, that sounds very appealing to them. And ultimately, like a lot of people, young people are power hungry. And so they really just want to do whatever it takes to make their mark on humanity. And so in this case, it's become very easy for them to you know, leave everything they love in the Western world and just go and fight on the behalf of ISIS.
Right. So you, Shuaib Rasooli, our guest today on Faith in Action, you were talking about your family, older brother. You are the oldest brother, mm-hmm. Two younger sisters.
Correct.
Family here in Indianapolis?
Correct.
Okay. And somehow, you were invited to a Catholic to a Bible study. And of course, you went in, you know, guns blazing, if you will. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, you know, ask a lot of questions, and I disagree with everything here, which is good. I think asking a lot of questions is good. Because that means that you're thinking. And when you ask a lot of questions, there's a possibility you could get some good answers.
Correct.
So let's fast forward a little bit. So you're shaken up a little bit because you've taken yourself from, you know, Islam, Muslim, to agnostic, still believing there's something good up here, mm-hmm. But just not sure what it is. So, sure. And then you went to a Catholic Bible study. Now, how did it go from there to today? You are a member of St. John the Evangelist Catholic Church. What happened? And I also want to ask, how did the Blessed Mother inject herself into sure. your conversion story?
Sure. So I read my fraternity brother, Jacob, he gave me a Bible to read. And I asked him, where do I start? He just said, start from the Gospels, because everything in this book centers around the life of Christ. And if you start with Christ, then everything else will piece together later down the road. So I started with the Gospels. I started with the Gospel of Matthew. And would you believe me if I said that was the most poetic, most beautiful thing I'd ever read in my life? You know, this is the first time I'm opening up a Bible, sincerely like reading it for informative purposes. And no matter how much I read the Bible, I went through all the Gospels, some of the letters of St. Paul. I went through some of the Old Testament. No matter how much I read the scriptures, I still could not profess that Jesus Christ was a third Godhead in the Trinity, and that he was our Lord and Savior who was crucified on the cross. Mainly because this was very contradictory to the teachings
what you know. Sure.
That I was brought up with, such as Muslims, they don't believe that Christ was crucified. They don't even profess that he's Lord and Savior. Like, this is totally different. Going from saying that there is no God but God and Muhammad is his messenger to Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. And if I believe in this, then you know, my path to paradise will be smoother. Like, I'll have my crosses, but yeah.
Sure.
And so it wasn't until the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, December 12th, 2012, that I had made a sincere prayer to our Blessed Mother for me to truly understand who Christ was and the relationship of my relationship with God. And so I said a prayer, and I actually prayed for an understanding of my family knowing that I had left the Islamic faith. Not so much that I had converted to Christ, but that I had left Islam. You know, stating that, you know, if your son is who he says he is, then he'll help me in this problem that I have in my life.
Sure.
In that prayer, I accidentally accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. it was a true accident. I had to stop. As soon as I said amen, I had to stop and, like, do a double take. And I was just like, what did I say? What did I pray? And I truly realized that at that moment I accepted Christ. And as soon as I did, I professed it with my mouth and I closed my eyes, and the Blessed Mother appeared to me. And she appeared to me in such a way that it was the way that I needed to see her. I needed to see Christ. And so it was me surrounded by a field of white, and I'm running from someone chasing me from the behind. And I see a dark figure in the distance, and I'm running and I'm running and I'm running. And all of a sudden it's Mary in the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And so I stop in my tracks, and I feel a grasp on my shoulder, like a hard, like it's hurting me, like physically and in my mind as well. And a quick turnaround, and I turn around and gaze my eyes upon our Lord. And I look back at Mary. Jesus is nothing to me at this point. I look back at Mary, and she says to me, "See, I told you that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And from this day forward, you're going to worship him the way he deserves to be worshiped."
Oh my.
Yeah. And
oh
so
my. How powerful is that?
Yeah. And so I truly think the reason why that happened was because every single day in the Muslim world, people are coming to Christ, but we don't know about these stories. But one of the more prevalent ways Christ is coming to these people is through visions, through dreams, because visions and dreams, like, mean a lot to the Muslim people.
Sure.
And so Christ meets us where we're at.
Where we are, and takes us where we need to be, where he wants us.
That's how it happened for me. And unfortunately, it doesn't happen for everybody. But, you know, it was exactly how I needed to see it.
How you needed to, sure.
For me to believe. And so it was Mary that ultimately brought me, that ultimately knocked me off my high horse to humble me, to show me that her son is God
Mary,
and Savior.
Mary truly is the mediatrix of all graces. She is our mother in so many ways, shapes, and forms. Our guest today on Faith in Action, Shuaib Rasooli, talking about his conversion story from Islam, Muslim, to Catholicism. You know, I wonder, we just have three or so minutes left, but to our listeners who hear a lot about Muslims and Islam and, as Jim was saying, ISIS in the news today, it's all over the place. But give us some concrete differences between the way we practice our Catholic faith, between what Catholics believe and what are some tenets of the Islamic faith.
Sure. I'll give you two key differences. One I mentioned earlier was that in the Quran, it states that Christ was never crucified, that it only appeared to the people as in their imagination, so that the image of Christ was taken from Christ and placed on another man, and that man was the one that's crucified. Islamic tradition states that Judas Iscariot was the one that was crucified with the image of Christ on him.
Oh, interesting.
So that's tradition, but, like, Judas is never mentioned in the Quran. So that's, like, you know, from tradition viewpoint, that's what's believed. And not all Muslims believe that, but majority of them do. I, like I said, I had to really ask that question to myself. If the Christians say that Christ was crucified, this is the centrality of their faith, that Christ was crucified. 3 days later, he was resurrected in full glory. And we don't even believe that. And so somebody's lying and someone's telling the truth. And I need to find out, you know, who's telling the truth here, and prove that, you know, early church fathers, the eyewitnesses, it all, you know, follow through when doing my research. And the other crucial difference is Muslims believe that the Old and New Testament scriptures have been corrupted. And so anything that we have from our scriptures, they're not going to, you know, even listen to. So whenever you say that, you know, John 3:16, for Christ so loved the world, et cetera, they're just going to you know, not even bat an eye and just keep walking, because they believe that we have a corrupted form of the scriptures, that there was at a time a true Old Testament and a true New Testament, but somewhere along the line, because they were both supposed to lead up to Prophet Muhammad and they didn't, the early Muslims accused the Christians and the Jews of perverting their scriptures, because, you know, none of the revelations, none of the prophecies led up to Muhammad, and they all pointed more to Jesus.
Okay, so, well, that makes sense. That makes complete mm-hmm. sense. Our guest today on Faith in Action, Schweib Rasuli, and he's telling us his conversion story. Very interesting, quite dramatic, from Islam, from being a Muslim to Catholicism. St. John the Evangelist, you're at a wonderful place with Father Rick Nagel there. We've got just a little over a minute left, Schweib, and I'm going to cede the last minute to you. What would you offer to our listeners? What one thing would you like to leave with our listeners today?
Sure. In all honesty, pray for the Muslim world. You know, it's a rocky place. Every single country that you go to is in great turmoil, whether it be through terrorism, through poverty, anything it may be, like Afghanistan, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, like they're all in great turmoil. And so just pray for the Muslim world. Pray for the Muslim leaders, that they may have conversion of heart. Pray for the leader of ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, that's his name. He's the leader of ISIS. So pray for his conversion, because I believe that he's our modern day Saul. And so that he needs to be knocked off his high horse. Start by, you know, building the bridges, and find more differences than I've mentioned, and also find similarities that you can use to link up with our Muslim brothers and sisters, because in my opinion, they need the gospel message more so than anyone else in this world, because they don't even know the nativity story or the crucifixion story or anything else related to Jesus. So you know, that's my opinion. So I'll leave it in the hands of my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to do the rest, to be his hands and feet.
Schweib Rasuli, our guest today on Faith in Action, thank you so much for being our guest today. God bless you.
MJ, thank you so much for having me once again.
And may the Lord's peace be with you.
And with you as well.
May the Lord's peace be with you.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten by St. Vincent Health, providing the spirit of caring through 20 health ministries that serve 46 central Indiana counties, and by Marian University, offering Catholic and academic excellence in the Franciscan and liberal arts traditions. To suggest a guest or a topic for this program, call us at 317-870-8400.
May the Lord's peace be with you. May the Lord's peace be with you.